recording and started. This is going to be a very quick 10-minute. We had technical difficulties, but it's going to be a very quick 10-minute lesson. I think it's good to talk about what we had discussed from a question that was asked in reference to I'm trying to think how you put it. In reference to, I think, knowing the difference or something. I remember what I said. I'm trying to remember how you asked the question.
Here's how I answered.
I'll just say it like this. Now, a person may be wondering from us dealing with this topic, the angel of the Lord. The question may arise, okay, how do we know when we're having these encounters? So what was it along the lines you said?
I don't know that I had a question, but I think we came to a conclusion.
Okay.
Like, I was just recapping the story of what my mama had said with a little bit more detail. And then that's when you were like, I think you wanted me to go back over that story. And then from that, say, okay, this is not just an everyday occurrence, I'm just going to show up kind of deal, where it's like the situation is critical kind of deal.
Right. And so, I mean, when you just do that, okay. then I'll say from what I said.
So my mama told a story. The time when we had an encounter with what we believed was an angel, right? But at the time, she left out some of the details in terms of the criticality. So we had gone to Florida, we drove, we had come back, and on the way back, outside of Shreveport, we had the first flat. Then we pulled into, I forgot where, I think Sears or whatever. Got it fixed. That was probably like a couple hours. And then we leave Shreveport, and just on the other side of Shreveport, we had the second blowout. So coming into Shreveport, we had the first one. Leaving it, we had the second one. And so at the time, I think I was 12. My cousin was 13, and she had a lock on her wheel. It wasn't just a regular screw. It was a lock, and the lock was stripped because the key wouldn't come off, and so we couldn't get it off. And at that point, you know, it's hot in the middle of the summer, and, you know, you couldn't see nothing, no direction. You know, we could see that there was an exit up ahead, but at that point, like, she didn't want to let us go. We were saying to her, okay, we need to go, because it ain't nothing we can do here, and it ain't like y'all going to be able to walk away down there. And she was like, okay, you know, both of y'all young, we don't want y'all, because once y'all going to be on what we can see, we don't know what can happen to you. So at that point, it was kind of critical, because you don't know what could happen to us, or what could happen to anybody. So she was really, really concerned. She didn't want to let us go. We basically talked to her into letting us go, because we didn't have no other choice. What we gonna do? And so at that point, we had struck out walking. We had left. We were going where we were going, and that's when, after we had always struck out and were going where we were going to try to find help from who we didn't even know. I mean, it wasn't like we knew what we were gonna find even going looking for help. So after we had struck out, we had probably got, you know, good 600 yards down the street. That's when the bus pulled over. And so, you know, me and my cousin, we just thought, you know, the bus pulled over. But when it started backing up, that's when we were like, okay, maybe they coming to help us, and so that's when we walked back. So it wasn't like, you know, oh, we just happened. No, my mama was kind of afraid for our sake at the time.
So, after we discussed that, what I want you to understand in reference to these encounters is that, you know, Yah is not gonna just show up from an entertainment perspective. You know, okay, well, you know, I just had a conversation with Yah today, you know, kind of deal. These kind of encounters are events that's not of the norm.
And I mean, you used the example of like Hagar.
Right. And Ishmael.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll go back to that one. That one just to give you an understanding of, because I don't want people now to, you know, because, you know, we can turn anything into a religion, and before you know it, you got people going around here saying, well, I had an encounter with Yah. No. You know, there was something else going on, you know, from that perspective. And so, Genesis 16, to give you an example of this, to show you how Yah moves. It's not that he just want to show up, as I said, as entertainment. But when when you look at verse 9, well, let me go back up. This is when she was pregnant. This is not when he was born. Genesis 21. Okay. Now, when you look at this story concerning Hagar, after in 16 and 9, when she fled from her mistress and returned, she was pregnant at the time. Well, in Genesis 21, Ishmael was a young boy around 14 years old. But there was an incident that happened in reference to Isaac, because Isaac is the son of the promises. So you have a 14-year-old boy, and I just start here with end with this here, just to give you an idea. Genesis 21 verse 1 says, and Yah visited Sarah as he had said, and Yah did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham. And bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which Yah had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son, being 8 days old, and Yah as Yah had commanded him. So our nation was circumcised at 8 days old, all the boys. Now, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, Yah has made me laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. And I think she was 91, I believe. Will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given him given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. So what, 2 to 3 years old, so up in there. And Sarah saw the son. Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Now, when you look at the word mocking, when you look at the word mocking, it means to laugh outright, to scorn, to sport, okay? Play with, to make sport. So he was playing with this ball, but it wasn't from a big brother, little brother mindset. You have to understand that you have Ishmael being around 14 years old. He's jealous of Isaac. The feast is made for Isaac. You know Isaac is the heir. And so because of that, you know, he has a mindset as he's playing with his little brother. And it put Isaac in a dangerous situation. And so when you look at it, verse 10, it says, wherefore she said unto Abraham, Sarah did, she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son, Ishmael. And Yah said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. Okay, she was his wife. Now, it says bondwoman, but she was actually his wife. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Okay, Ishmael is a seed, but Isaac is the seed of the promise, whereby the nation of Israel would eventually come from through Jacob or Israel. And also the son of the bondwoman would I make a nation, because he is thy seed. So when you look at the sons of Ishmael, it is your, most people will say your Arabs and things like that. These are the sons of Ishmael. And so when you see these people, there are 12 princes that come from Ishmael, the same way there are 12 sons that come from Jacob. Yeah, so you see that these are our brothers, so to speak, and they're a blessed nation of people. But it's just that because of the birthright and the blessing coming through Isaac and eventually to Jacob, who is Israel, passed down to the nation of Israel, the sons of Israel. That's why you see a lot of conflict that's going on even on today. And the sons of Ishmael actually took us into slavery also. It wasn't just the Atlantic slave trade, but your so-called Muslim religion or you know, your Arabs and things like that, they took used us in slavery too. And so, verse 14 says, Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, put it on her shoulders and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle. It was all gone. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs.
Understanding that he's not a baby.
Right. Yeah, so when you look at the word cast, let's just look at the word cast. When you look at the word cast, it means to throw out, down, or away, or to hurl, pluck. You know, it's like a large kid, he's 14, around 14 years old. So when it says she cast, more like she was holding the baby. You know, she just kind of, you know, helped him or pulled him under that tree because he was, there was out of water, so he was in a bad situation, you know, being a child basically out in the wilderness or the desert, so to speak. You know, I'm not going to necessarily say desert, but I figure with it being water, needing water, the water being spent, it was the desert. So It said the water was spit in the bowl, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. So when you look at a bow shot, it wasn't like she was just right there. He's telling me shooting a bow. But she walked off a pretty good way, but she still was in the vicinity. It says, but she said, let me not see the death of the child. So he was thirsty enough to the point to where he was going to die from it. Okay? And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And Yah heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of Yah called the Hagar out of heaven. Look, the angel of Yah. Who heard the voice? Yah. Okay? And the angel of Yah called the Hagar out of heaven. So when you look at this, the angel of Yah, it always gives us, like what we had mentioned in this conversation, Elder. When you see Yah show up as the angel of Yah, it is a distressful situation whereby Yah shows up in that facet. So when you see something that is out of the ordinary taking place, Moses and the burning bush, you see events that's from a perspective that is not under normal circumstances. Whenever we're encountering things that is not of a normal circumstance, we are going to have encounters with Yah, who is then identified as the angel of Yah. He's the messenger then to come forth as our God to encourage us, to let us know that I'm with you and everything is going to be okay. Thus, the bus trip, the trip, and then the bus picking up, Mama Coach and Elder and his family. And so we're looking at these things, we're seeing situations that is not of the norm. So I don't want you to think that, okay, y'all just going to show up just for any reason whatsoever. It is vitally important for us to understand that when we're in distressful situations, when there are things going on that's not of the norm, we can expect Yah to show up as that messenger, as that messenger to bring deliverance. So it says, verse 17 again, and Yah heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of Yah called to Hagar, because you see a colon, so it lets you know Yah heard the voice of Ishmael in the thought. Then it says, and the angel of Yah called to Hagar out of heaven. So it lets you know he hears the voice, and then it lets you know that the angel of Yah called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for Yah hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. Notice how Yah talks a lot in the third person, so to speak. Because he says, he heard him, Yah heard the voice, then the angel of Yah called Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee? Fear not, for Yah has heard the voice of the land where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I... The angel an angel don't have the authority to make someone a great nation unless that angel and Yah is one and the same. So when Yah speaks that way, he's speaking from a perspective of letting you know there are so many facets to who he is that when he presents himself as the spirit of Yah, it is Yah, it's the breath of Yah. Not some other individual out there. It is another facet of how Yah operates. Okay? Lift up the lad, and behold, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And Yah opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And Yah was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Okay? Now, even when you look at Genesis 16 and 9, I was going to see if it was going to say it, and I had to go there. Even when you look at it, it describes, matter of fact, I'm going to just go there. I'm going to pull up another Bible so you can see this. I'm going to go to Genesis 16. And here's how you know Ishmael's descendant. Genesis 16 verse 11 says, and the angel of Yah said unto her, behold, thou art with child. She hadn't had him yet. Chapter 16, she had him in 21, and he's about 14 years old then. Okay, but when you look at 11, Genesis 16 verse 11, she hadn't had him yet. And the angel of Yah said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael. Look at the name Ishmael. She'll call his name Ishmael or Ishmael with a Y. Okay? Ishmael. So it lets you know El is in his name. Okay? Yahweh here. Ishmael. So when you hear Samuel El, all these different names, that is the name of Yah. El is the name of God. So when you look at God, instead of just saying God, if you say El, that's his name in Hebrew. It's El, okay? El means God in the Hebrew. El means God in the Hebrew. So he's Ishmael or Yahweh here, okay? And so everyone named their children something that meant something. And so it means Yahweh here, okay? Now, it says, because Yah has heard thy affliction. So that's what it means, Yahweh here. Okay? Then it says, and that should have been a colon. Okay? Because that connected. Verse 12 says, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man. What those folks like? Over there. What the Arabs like? Oh, they don't like nobody to them. That's what it describes the nature of Ishmael's son. Okay? And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man. And every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of Yah that spake unto her, thou Yah seest me. For Yah said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me. Okay, and so when you look at this, these are things that describe his nature, and then as you again move to verse 20, and Yah was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Okay, and he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. So your Ishmaelites or the descendants of Ishmael are from the seed of Abraham and also Egyptians. So that tells you how your original Ishmaelites look from a perspective of physical appearance. Okay, you have your Egyptian, which is descendants of Ham. And you have Abraham, who we descend from, so that lets you know who the sons of Ishmael, the true sons of Ishmael, who they are. And so you have descendants of those that may have certain bloodlines, you know, to a certain perspective, like it does as far as we're concerned. Like, for instance, you have Latino people who have a mixture of Israelite in them. Even your Mexicans have traces of Israelites in them through the Atlantic slave trade. But when you, in order to understand these things, Timothy was also a mixture of Greek and Hebrew. His mother was a Jew. So when you see it from that perspective, that's how you understand your Latinos, your Mexicans. It may be that their mother was a Jew. You know, there's a documentary that I looked at that's called Grandma in the Closet. And what it shows is that the grandmother of your the majority of your Mexican people was a black lady that came from the slave trade.
And so you have these mixtures of these Hebrews who mingle with these different nations, and you get you've got other races, your Latinos and different things like that. When you check their history, you start to see connections to the Atlantic slave trade. Okay, and so, but it's still difficult to tell, you know, how that perspective came about. But it just shows you that you're, you know, the sons of Ishmael is a mixture of Egyptian, African, and Shemite, the descendants of Shem, via Abraham. Okay, so that's why we look at those people, and we say that we are brothers from the perspective of Abraham truly being both of our fathers. Okay, and so. And so it describes him, his mentality. He's a wild man, dwell in the wilderness, in the mountain region, in caves and all this here. And that's why you see them dwelling in Afghanistan and all those different areas. That's why they dwell in there. That probably fulfills the son in them. And how they operate. So from that perspective, you see an example here of Hagar and Ishmael. It was a serious situation, so much so that Yah showed up to as the angel of Yah to aid them, so that the boy wouldn't die because he was of Abraham. And you know, in even this lesson, I've come to understand that when I was really sick that time, and I said it was an angel that picked me up, that was Yah. I thought it was an angel. I just knew it was a big, strong man, and he was a black man, and he came and picked me up out of the bed and wouldn't lay me on some rocks. And he was, you know, he was huge and picked me up and laid me on those rocks. That was God, because whatever was going on with me that day, I was sick enough to the point where he felt necessary. He felt it necessary to come to me himself, and he took me and laid me on those smooth rocks. And I understand now, that's why once he grabbed me, everything went transparent to where I no longer saw the house and only could see the rock. And I didn't know where I was. I don't know where he took me, but he laid me on those smooth rocks. And that's when I gained my strength. And so there are angels that dwell with us, but at the same time, there are times when Yah will come to us as the angel of Yah. Actually, there are two angels that be with me, and then there's encounters that I've had with Yah from the perspective of being the angel of Yah. When I was in some dire situations, thus, you know, I told the story last week about the wreck, me hitting the bridge with the ice on it. So that was Yah showing up as the angel of Yah to keep me from crashing on that bridge and it being a lot worse than what it would have been. When I went over into those apartments to get a church member that was strung out on crack that time, it was two angels that was walking with me. One of them could have been Yah, I don't know. But I know it was two walking with me because they kept saying them two big men walking with you. You think you're bad because you got those two big men walking with you. So all of those situations were circumstances where I was in danger, and it was a bad situation that I was in, and Yah manifested either himself or those angels to make sure that we were okay. And the same way with Mama Coates' elder and his family. Okay? So, I just wanted to share that. And we'll stop. What's up? All right, any questions, comments? Okay? Last thing, just remember that, you know, these encounters will happen according to Yah's desire. It's not something that we can just, you know, expect to happen just because we want to see it happen.
when the opportunity presents itself, understand and know that your God is going to show up. Expect it. Okay. Go ahead.
Was the guy in the fire with Shadrach and Shaking him?
Yeah, that's what it was. That's exactly what it was. But they try to describe it as Jesus. That was Yah walking in that fire. Matter of fact, go there. We're looking at the deeper close. I'll just type it in.
Right?
Yeah, I'll type it in this up the fire. Looking at the Son of God. We'll look at that just real quick. Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. You can just read the rest of it on your own time. I just want to point out this. I'll just start at verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Then answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, one walking in the midst of the fire. Four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Okay?
That translates.
Yeah. We know that
it is
Let's look at it.
From the
perspective of
like a Son of God in
the from the context
of what we understand about
when you look at it, any time you had pagans, Nebuchadnezzar being someone who didn't know Yah from that perspective.
Right.
He identified it according to what he understood. And so even when you look at the word Son of Yah, I even believe that it's it could possibly be an error from the translator wanting to influence it to make you think that it's Christ. Okay. And so from that perspective, it says Bar Amaic, correspondence 1121, a son, grandson, etc. It says old. It's a weird declaration.
It ain't like it at that point. The concept of We don't know the concept of the Son of God at that point. It ain't like the New Testament is there. And
now, here's the answer. When you look at verse 28, to show you that this is a grammatical or an error in the translation. Okay, and so in looking at verse 25, I said, well, maybe, you know, that's why I said earlier, maybe it is something that Nebuchadnezzar was doing from perspective. Verse 28 gives us the answer. Verse 28 says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the Yah of the God, the Yah of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel as Yah. So this translation is bad because it's someone who is trying to put Christ in the Old Testament. Okay? But what I love about Yah is that when somebody makes a bad translation, you continue to read, it'll bring you to the true knowledge of what Yah really meant for us to understand. Okay? So it says, as the son of Yah, and it is weird, and it lets you know that is a writer trying to influence us. And that's why it's important for us to continue
to capitalize it.
That's the writer trying to influence that, who translated this, who wants us to believe that there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and that Christ himself was indeed with God in the beginning, and that he was walking coming in and out of earth, so to speak, in the Old Testament. But it's more confirmation. I'm glad that we went there. It's more confirmation that Nebuchadnezzar knew, or he had an understanding that this angel, although he calls the angel, we know from what we read, it was Yah manifesting in a dire situation, a distressful situation, to help his chosen.
I ain't trying to belabor this.
No, go ahead.
It's the same thing like with Daniel, because at the same time we see Daniel in the lion's den, it says the angel.
That's another one came to mind.
Yes.
That's another thing that came to mind exactly when you went here. That passage came to mind.
So to show with all these times, it's something critical where somebody's life is on the line, and Yah show up, kind of deal.
Yeah. And so, so that's what I wanted us to get an understanding out of dealing with this year. So, again, verse 28 confirms that the fourth is like the Son of God. No, that was that angel, or the angel of Yah. That was Yah. Okay? And it may be because Nebuchadnezzar didn't understand how Yah operates. He called it a son of Yah, an angel of the gods, or something like this. Okay? And so, but verse 28 lets us know that he said, blessed be Yah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. That's the key. We trust in Yah, Yah will show up when we need it. And have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Okay? This was Yah himself who showed up in that fire. It was not Christ. Okay? Alrighty. Any questions? We good? Okay, we'll stop there. Father Yah, we bless you. And we thank you for just another path of understanding. We just love you and how you deal with us. You treat us in a special way. Unsealing the scriptures to us so that we can walk in understanding that is divine. We don't take that lightly, and we just count it a privilege to be in this position to hear from you in this manner. And we love you for it. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.